Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Om Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha, chapter 34, The Nectar of Devotion, page 61. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Two verses describe another facet of Rati's incomprehensibility. When the suffering of other persons become the devotee's own suffering, not by distinguishing himself from the character in the drama or poetic work, that suffering also produces a taste of astonishing bliss. Right? So you're hearing about the devotees and their interaction with the Lord. And then sometimes the situations are seemingly externally favorable or not. But the point is being absorbed in that and identifying with the character that's there, then you also taste the same taste that they're tasting. Right?
Now, can we say that this is a potency, a chit potency?
Yes, it's chit potency.
It means if a devotee do a drama being connected to the chit potency, we can also connect.
Yeah, that's why if the non-devotees perform something, that it generally doesn't create any change in heart. Yes. Someone who has a change in heart means a devotee could then connect the various emotions to Krishna themselves.
Yes.
But it wouldn't be that the dramatists themselves are producing it.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I'm like a medium.
Yeah, they're like a medium, but they don't necessarily know it. They're just being thespians, you know, so that's all it is. In that planet of Satyaloka, there is neither bereavement nor old age nor death. There is no pain of any kind, and therefore there are no anxieties, save that sometimes, due to consciousness, there is a feeling of compassion for those unaware of the process of devotional service, and who are subjected to unsurpassable miseries in the material world. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.27. This is a glorification of Satyaloka. Arti means suffering, and Udvega means fear. There is no fear of suffering except for suffering from the heart. Because there is a feeling of compassion for the endless suffering of samsara, of those who do not know about bhakti, ani dam vidam. But that display of suffering which arises in the hearts of the Shanta Bhaktas in Lord Brahma's assembly in Satya Yoga, for those caught in samsara, also reveals deep bliss. Also, Prahlad, who personally wanted to remove the sufferings of others unconditionally, grieved for the suffering of those in samsara and prayed to the Lord to relieve their suffering. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of science, Maunavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter at your lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.44. Is this the continuation the same? Oh, this is a different one. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.9. As well, in the ninth canto, Ranti Dev is famous for his desire to deliver others from suffering. Therefore, the appearance of unhappiness in the hearts of those devotees is actually a form of the highest bliss, not a direct experience of suffering. Right? So, either then, as we mentioned before, is the bhava of the dramatists themselves and what they're doing, and that mood that is projected there, and that in relationship with the Lord, then that you can also experience, right? But it's also then just the experience of others. But the point is it's only giving a Krishna conscious effect because you're seeing it in Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
But if you're not seeing it in Krishna consciousness, it won't give that effect.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, that's the whole point. Yeah. Because it is an established fact that the cause of material suffering is previous and present condition of sins. What is the question of sin for these devotees, by remembrance of whom others become free from sin? Simply by our remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified, and what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:19.33. Right, so, you're remembering Krishna, then everything becomes sanctified, everything becomes perfect. So that's what it is. It's, you're seeing either the relationship, you're seeing some aspect in the relationship with Krishna, because he's Krishna's the central element of all relationships. So when you see in that way, then there'll be this transcendental happiness, even though it may appear to be in the form of suffering, right? Because it's a connection with Krishna being all, being bliss. Personified, so therefore you're going to be happy. Right? Thus the devotee thinks, whatever happens to me does not matter. Let me suffer eternally, but may my master be always happy with my service. End quote. And when the present devotee sees the happiness of others, it gives rise to incomparable bliss in his heart. If just a little bit, if just a little of vibhava and other elements related to the associates of the Lord appear in the devotee, immediately he achieved completeness from the appearance of the vibhavas, anubhavas, sattvika bhavas, and vyavichari bhavas. Srila Jiva Goswami. Another power of rati is here described. If even a little of the vibhava and other elements belonging to the associates of the Lord in his pastimes, sadbhava, manifest in the heart of the present devotee, who has favorable impressions from previous lives, immediately he achieves full satisfaction from the appearance of these four bhavas. Right. So, impressions from the previous life means you've done devotional service before, so that's why it was based on. So, devotional service this life and other lives and that. So we're saying, one lifetime you go back to Godhead, we're talking about this lifetime.
Yes.
But to get to this lifetime, then there's been so many lifetimes in devotional service. So once you develop that shraddha, then you can just continue. In one life, you can perfect yourself. Whether you do or not, that's another question. That's up to you. However, it is correct that when the literary experts say that rati depicted in characters through literary works will not in itself produce rasa, since mundane aspects are involved. Srila Jiva Goswami. Right, so they're saying is you're going to experience this, but at the same time is they're saying that it's not the technical, the script itself, the particular acting skills, the persons that's producing it. That has to be understood. It's a medium. But it's not, it's just like the pot is not producing the preparation. It's the medium for the cook to produce it. Right? Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. Though rati produces rasa through the mind of the experiencers, someone may propose that dramatic presentations can also directly produce an experience of rasa. The author rejects this notion with an approving statement from others. Natyagya here means literary experts, who are expert in material literature. According to them, there are three supporting factors in the production of rasa. In seeing a drama, these factors are the character impersonated, for instance, Nala, famous character in Sanskrit literature, the actor, and the spectator seeing the performance. Right. So the character, the actor themselves and the spectator, right? The audience. In hearing a poetic work, these factors are the character described, the speaker and the hearer. These experts do not consider that rasa issues from the characters impersonated by acting or depicting by recitation, because these in themselves are just depictions of common characters. Lauki, katvadi, with limitations. Right? So what they're producing is limited. Possessing qualities such as fear, footnote 32. The characters represented or the literary works do not possess inherent emotions such as fear or joy, which are the components of rasa. These emotions are experienced only through the performance in the presence of the audience. Right? So in themselves it doesn't have it. It's only then when the character is applying it. You know what I mean? It's being applied through the actor or through that medium, and the person themselves is then appreciating it. Then you may appreciate it. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's inherent in any of these. It's when you follow the process. As well, the actor or reciter cannot really cause rasa, because the actors and reciters are simply performers earning a living. Thus, the literary experts consider that rasa is caused by the spectator or audience. The spectators are able to experience in their heart something above the common material ingredients. Laukika, something transcendental due to the expertise of the literary work. Footnote 33. Even the experience of secular rasa in secular literature can take place with the perceiver. The expertise of the work and actors helps this to take place, but ultimately rasa resides with the perceiver. Right, so that's why you can have a devotee and they may be perceiving something on a transcendental platform. Mm-hmm. But everybody else involved is not. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why this point of this emphasis being here. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not that it's all about the audience. Mm-hmm. You know? It's a matter of the audience is the one that can perceive this. Because if the actor perceives it but the audience doesn't, it won't be considered a successful drama. Right? You know, unless it's in one of these. Yeah. There are those who may be comfortable with that. But, you know, generally there's only, 12 people there watching, in an empty kind of place. Everyone's sitting around in just chairs that they brought out, and the actor's just sitting in a chair for the whole time. One of those ones. Right? Yeah, so we're not talking about what they perceive. We're talking about the reality of what is being experienced. Right? Yeah. No. However, the spectators or audience must have the proper previous impressions or sympathy for this to take place. Right? So if they don't have that devotion there, they're not going to perceive devotion. They don't have compassion, they won't perceive compassion. They don't have joy, they won't perceive that. Right? Old mimamsakas, unsympathetic persons, could not experience the same rasa. The author agrees with this. This does not apply, however, to depicting characters such as Rama and Sita, who are full of unlimited qualities and who enter into the depicted characters. Thus, those depictions are a cause of rasa. If the actors or reciters also have full sympathy with the portrayed character, they can also cause rasa. Right? So, we're looking at the position here is that you have these three elements. You have the character themselves, you have the actor, and you have the audience. Right? So now, as the basic principle, it's the audience that is the essential point. Because if the audience has the samskara, then they'll be able to perceive within that performance those different qualities, whatever they are, the different qualities, the different emotions, the devotion, all these things, they can perceive it, even though the script itself and the actors themselves may or may not be even considering these things. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So that's considering in there. That's why then a devotee, he can see Krishna in everything. and experience always transcendental bliss wherever they are. Because of their samskaras, they see that connection with everything that they're looking at in the context of Krishna.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So, but then, if you take point is that it's a transcendental drama, then the characters themselves, just that there, then, like the example here of Sita and Ram, then that potency of Sita and Ram is there in the actors, and so then just the characters themselves can produce it.
Yes.
You know, in the audience and in the actors.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The same time as if the actor is also has that full sympathy of that devotion, then they also can project it.
Yes.
So the point is if all three, so in other words, you have a devotional drama done by devotees, seen by devotees, then that's going to give the greatest devotional effect. Yeah? So, yeah.
Right. It's because, like we discussed before, there is already Rati present, and because of the Vibhavas, Anubhavas, it enhances and mutually, again and again at various different levels, it goes back and forth, and it keeps on increasing.
Mm. Yes.
If it's just seen by a non-devotee, it just increases his Shraddha, and maybe causing a bit of Rati to him. If the devotional drama is performed by devotees, but seen by non-devotees, then it gives them some benefit because...
Well, it produces samskar.
Samskar. Yes.
And so therefore then, the next time they see, then
yes.
it'll generate more.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise it just means if the whole thing's mundane, then the emotion is still experienced because the audience relates to that emotion. And so the character is happy or sad, they can relate to those, and so therefore then they feel those.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then if the whoever's writing the script, if that then they have an understanding and they themselves have this feeling of, mundane emotions, then and experiences of that, then they can project, they can then write it in such a way that it reflects their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you see, whoever's writing the script, they have to base it off of theirs or others' experiences.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't come out of anywhere. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if the actors, they that can relate to them, then they can also project, but it's still going to be all mundane.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? But the point is here, is that when you add in the devotional element on any of those, then it's going to have, it can have that devotional effect. Yes?
Maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. Can the example of Lava and Kusha not apply here? They hear the Ramayana from Valmiki at the ashram, and as they listen to the narrative, they begin to experience all sorts of feelings.
Yeah.
They want to find out who is this Ram. They haven't met
yes.
the father yet.
Yes.
Does that apply? And then they go into the city of Ayodhya to look for them.
Yes. Yes, it means it's always there. That means that's what you're dealing with, because ultimately you're dealing with, because Krishna is rasa. That means everything that's expanding from Krishna, there's an element of rasa there. You know, whether it's in the personal or Brahman or Paramama aspects, and whether we're seeing it in the transcendental or on the material. You know, so it's just where you're going to get. So there's a taste in the knowledge, there's a taste in the skills, there's a taste in the results. And there's a taste in the experience. So that's the point, is all these points, there's taste. That's why people do things. That's academics study knowledge, because it gives them taste. So other people, unless they can apply that knowledge, then it doesn't give them taste. And others, unless when they apply the knowledge, unless it gives a result, that doesn't give them taste. Right? And others, unless there's a particular good experience from that result or any of those, then it's not considered of value. So the point is, rasa is the bottom line that anybody does anything. Right? Because the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis are only in support of the Icha, which is Krishna, and that's where the Ladini is. That's where the Prayojan or the experience. That the rasa is there. So everything's being done for that. People will say, you know, they're just doing it for this or just for the money, but no, it's the money gives them a taste. Right, they have a taste in that, the security of that, or the power of that, the influence of that, the prestige of that. There's something, and that gives them a taste. So all the qualities that people say, oh, we must have these qualities, everybody should be nice, but there's a taste in being nice. Someone else has a taste from not being nice. So it's just the point is it's all about taste. So ultimately, rasa is the, that's why it's the nectar of devotion. You know, it's rasa is the main, is the bottom line for everything. Because we're a person, because Krishna being a person, being individually conscious, and that taste that is there, then we have that also inherently. So then it's all about the taste. So then it's just a matter of something is there, because you can have, let's say, you have times where the script isn't that great, but the acting was, and people appreciate it. You know, or the script was great, the actors weren't so good, but, you know, still the lines are not, then you appreciate. You know, they'll talk about, you know, because it gets best screenplay. It doesn't get best movie or best direction or best actor or best, you know, it gets that had the potency. You know, and you also have is that the audience gets fully into it, that has an influence on the actors. So they'll put more into it. You know, the audience is responding very nicely. Then if they're, you know, able to appreciate that, then they start to adjust. So the whole point is rasa nourishes rasa. But the point here is that ultimately it's the transcendental rasa. And so that has to be coming from the chit potency. So it's either it's got the scripture is there, the actor is there, the audience is there, you know, so your best is going to be when it's all three. You know, so when Lord Chaitanya and his associates at the house of, you know, Srivas Thakur are performing the Dana Kali Leela like that, you're not going to get better than that. You know, the eternal pastimes performed by the eternal Lord with his eternal associates. You know, so that's going to give the highest. As Prabhu is pointing out, is any of these things, whatever is there, that coming up, that will nourish the other things. So if it comes up from one place, that will nourish other aspects. So if you get a taste in one, then you'll like to look at the other. Because it's just like, let us see, we see some kind of performance. Their minimum has to be one moment. And then we'll say the whole thing was good. As long as there was a moment that you related to it, and there wasn't something after that moment that totally disappointed you.
Yes.
So in other words, the moment was, you know, there can be disappointment, but at some point there's a moment, then it's okay. Then if there's more than a moment, so the point is that it's transcendental, then the whole thing's, you know, is there. Does that make sense? So people remember some occasion or that because of a moment. You know, you can go through, let's say, the whole year, and there's no, but you'll only remember where those moments were. You know, I was talking to this person, and this came up, or I was doing this, and that happened. And that's all. That's why you see is that, you know, these old people, all they're talking about is the moments. They're not talking about anything else. You know? Does that make sense? So they don't even necessarily vary the story, because it's about the moment. Does that make sense? And then people who don't understand that, they talk about all kinds of stuff, and there's no moment. And it's kind of like, why is he talking? is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
In university, I forced my students to perform drama, non-devoted students, to perform drama about Lord Chaitanya to another non-devoted student. Did they get any Shraddha from this performance?
They might. The point is they're associating, so it might. In any case, they're going to get a jata sakriti. So whether that results in, comes to the point of shraddha, then that you have to see. You know what I'm saying? Because it's by the association of devotees that the jata sakriti increases to the point where then we have that, what do you call it? You know, we have that, we develop faith. So that's going to happen by association. So these are all just going to add to that. So if they have shraddha, it'll just increase it. You know, as Prabhu was saying, it's just each one nourishes the other. But in any case, if not, it'll be a jata sukriti. Rati for Krishna is most uncommon. Mere more blissful than the most blissful rati for the avatars, and attains the highest rasa in combination with his devotee, Srila Jiva Goswami. However, with the proper characters, actors, and spectators, rasa will manifest. Alokiki here suggests that the rati is most blissful, since it belongs to Bhagavan, the source of all bliss. This bliss derides even the bliss of liberation. It is greater than the rati for the avatars emanating from Bhagavan. Sarva bhuta bhuta. This is experienced by both Krishna and his intimate devotee. Quote, the Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. This form is wonderful for everyone, including the Lord himself, in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha, because it is the highest perfection of beauty, enhancing the beauty of all ornaments. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.12. Hari Priye, dear to Hari, indicates the devotee experiencer, the participant in his pastimes, and the excellent shelter of Rati. Because it means you have this aspect of why put it on the audience, because then that's they're the shelter of this rasa. Right? It means the actors are performing it, so they're the ones that are causing and all these things, but the shelter of that, why it'll be, is the devotees. Yes. Right? So the shelter then is experiencing. So then the expansions of Krishna are also then shelter for a love for Krishna. So the beauty of Krishna is also appreciated by the Lord's incarnations. Because they're also ashraya.
Yes.
Right? They may be vishaya for their devotees.
Yes.
But
yes.
They are ashraya as devotees of Krishna.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because everything's serving Krishna. Krishna is the Lord of the Icha Shakti. So the Kriya and Bala Shaktis, the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis are simply supporting Krishna's desire.
Yes.
So that means from Balaram on out, all the avatars and expansions and incarnations are all servants of Krishna.
Yes.
They all have that mood.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But at the same time, they're still the Supreme Lord, so they have their devotees in which they're... it's like Lord Shiva is worshipping Sankarsana.
Mm-hmm.
So then Shiva will be the Ashray and Sankarsana will be the Vishad. But then Sankarsana is the Ashray in his affection for Krishna.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then Shiva will be the Vishaya for the affection, affection of his devotees.
Yes.
That's what the Bhagavad Sandarbha was talking about, that is that you have this system going up. Krishna is the origin of all this. It's because he's the origin, that's why you have this potency throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And so the smaller position is getting benefit from their position, but all that is also being offered to the superior position. The example given of the small regional king.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the taxes from his local people, and he gets, he enjoys that, but at the same time, he pays taxes to the king above him.
Yes.
In the same way as an Indra, then he gets the benefit of being Indra, but at the same time, he has to offer his respects to the Supreme Lord. So, yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This verse shows production of rasa in correctly acted dramas. The word alokiki, unusual, is used because this rati is far superior to the bliss of liberation, because it is the cause of bliss even for the Lord himself, who is the root of all bliss. Rati is described as more astonishing than the astonishing, because it is much superior to the rati experienced in relation to the avatars. Right? So, because here is nectar devotion, it means the devotion to Krishna. That's what's being described. So, that's why all this tattva will come in to describe where all the other avatars fit into this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how they're there. At the same time, as we see here, is that Krishna himself being the origin, he being bliss personified, then when the devotees interact with him in relationship, then he also gets bliss.
Yes.
Right? So the devotees getting bliss from seeing the drama about Krishna, Krishna gets bliss from seeing their bliss of their seeing him. Yes.
Maharaj, this clearly explains why, unless one has appreciation and understanding of this rati, which is the most astonishing thing, then the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy
and the Vraj Krishna as the supreme will never make sense.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's always Vishnu is the supreme because...
Yes.
And even if we think that Krishna is appearing through Vishnu, still Krishna will be supreme if you understand this Rati. Otherwise...
Yes, yes. Because yes. Does that make sense? So the aspect that comes out, that comes to mind with this also is that when you're worshiping not Braja Krishna, you're worshiping technically as God.
Yes.
You know, or a mix of that element of God. So then because of the aspect of God, it's his position why you're worshiping. And you're worshiping in consideration of his position. He's a person, but you're worshiping that person as God. And so all the worship and the interaction, the situations and the paraphernalia, the moods are all in consideration of him being God. You know, so that's why, does that make sense? While Braja Krishna, it's not about him being God, it's just him, purely him as a person. So Bhagavan means the person. So we do see is that Lord in Vaikuntha is a person, and they're dealing with him as a person, but it's that person is God. And then, therefore, as God, what is the mood? What do you do? What is the mood? But here, it's not about his position. It's just Krishna himself, what he likes to do. So you could say it's the purest, it's the highest form of Bhagavan realization. Because the other, it's pure Bhagavan, right? The others, it's Bhagavan with a touch of Paramatma. You know, in Dwarka, and then in Vaikuntha, it'll be Paramatma with a touch of Bhagavan.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
Is that, and then the Shanta boxes, it'll be Brahman with that touch of Bhagavan.
Yes, yes.
You know, so you get all these three features. It's just a matter of Bhagavan is seen in all of them, but it's just a matter of where the prominence is. So for the Shantas, then the prominence is the Brahman, the all pervading, the eternal. You know, everything's connected and all that. So that's the basis of that. Then there's, within that, the activities that are performed. But then there's the whole mood, just that affection. It's just the rati. That's why Prabhu says the rati is that, that's the unique thing. That's what makes Braj different. Is that particular rati is just him as a person, how he likes to be pleased. It has nothing to do with his position. It doesn't, that's why for the Braj Basis, even they know he's God, it doesn't matter. Because, yeah, he's God, but it's him as a person. Just like, let's say, the mother of the prime minister, when he's at home, it's just, she's taking care of him as her son, as a person. It has nothing to do with him being prime minister. You know what I'm saying? You only bring up prime minister if one of the other ladies gets snarky about what their kid's doing. You know, like, yeah, you know, he's doing that and becomes so successful in business and there's so much money and things like that. It's kind of like, yeah, but my son makes the laws that your son has to follow. You know, there it may come up. But otherwise, in relation with him, it has nothing to do with it. So that's the thing, is Braj is unique because the Rati is just about Krishna as Bhagavan, as the person. It doesn't have any mix of anything else. That's why it's pure unalloyed devotion. The other is pure devotion because it's about the Lord. But Braj is pure unalloyed devotion. Yes?
So Rati is only experienced in Braj and only through friendship, parental, and conjugal.
No. Oh, in it means the Rati in Braj,
yes.
Or Rati itself as an item.
No, in Braj.
In Braj. No, you also have is that it's going to be, the others are there, but they're going to be, it's going to be, the Shanta will be there, but it's the experience in relationship to, right? Because it's just the cows on their own, where do the cows come in? As within the pastimes of the cowherd boys or cowherd girls, you know, or the parents. It's always in relation to the other rasas, because it will just be a foundational thing, because it's coming from Sandini, which is foundational. You know, in other words, Sandinis would be the expansion of the Sandini, you'll get the jnana aspect. You know, so the existence of everything is there. And then the servitorship also will be in context of that. They'll be either serving the gopis, they'll be serving the parents, they'll be either doing service for the boys, because they're servants of the parents of the boys. you know, or servants of, you know, of Radharani or the gopis, and, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to be in that context. You know, Dhanishta is servant of Mother Jashoda, but she will also assist in the conjugal pastimes or in the other things like this. But it's in that context. So you can say is that from that aspect, the rati of the friendship, parental and conjugal, they on their own have their own kind of independent field. Though they're always mixed together. Mm-hmm. You know, it has that point is that, you know, parental ras means there has to be kids. You know, so therefore you're going to get the gopis and you're going to get the cowherd boys. And so it all holds together there. But they can function on their own. Means the conjugal ras not being manifested and the friendship ras not being really manifested, they can function. So that's why Braj's uniqueness is the higher three rasas. Right? But the central feature is the conjugal. But means the point is the conjugal has meaning if the other rasas are there. Right? Like that. So it's all connected. But you'll see as you go down, then as you add in a little bit of what do you call it? The Aishwarya, then the servitorship comes up and becomes a prominent thing. It becomes a more major thing. Then as you know, and the sweetness will go down a little bit. So, you know, these will come up. As you drop the sweetness again, then the others come up more. Like you see in Ramlila, the conjugal is not the overarching aspect. It's the maryada, the performance of duties. You know, so your parental, your friendship, mm-hmm. and your servitorship, and then the shanta will come in because it's the performance of duties. And then Vaikuntha, then the top one, three drop out, mm-hmm. and it's just these bottom two. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, no, it's very amazing. That's just so it's a particular kind of rati. That's why we're very specific who we're following. It's not what we're listening to, as some will have it. It's who we're following, right? Because the gopis hear Ram Lila. Because you know you're going to be in the Vedic society. You're going to hear Mahabharata. You're going to hear Ramayana. You know. Like that. So, therefore, they're hearing these stories. So, for them, it's just Krishna doing these things. And so then he doesn't behave, you know, then Suparnaka comes along and that, and so then he behaves badly with her. So then they will then say Krishna doesn't know properly how to behave with girls. But they're quoting from what's happening in Ramlila with Suparnaka. So they see it's the same. They don't see. So it's who you're following. Means it's generally projected as what you're listening to. No, it's who you're following. Yes. You know, so hearing from their perspective. That's why Rupa Goswami is the sixth item in the sadhana bhakti, is that following the previous acharyas through your acharya. Yes. That's the important thing.
And following means also following a specific sadhana?
The sadhana, the mood, things like that. Because the mood is the main thing. Because sadhana may or not be so appreciated depending upon your position. You know what I'm saying? Let's say to do deity worship, you require some physical ability. But if you have that, you can do that. If you don't, then you know you have to do other things like just offer prayers or just chant here, remember. You know,
meaning
that's there. It's the Raganuga here means that it's in pursuance of. So by serving under Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, you're dealing with the rag. Whether we have rag or not, that's another thing. But we're in pursuance of it, and that's the meaning in the verse, the iti. Mm. Is that pure devotional service and that which is the pursuance of. Pure devotional service. So that's the whole point. So this idea that I have to be practicing a sadhana that supposedly is reflective of Raganuga Bhakti, that's not the point. It's the attitude of Rag, not what you're doing. You know, otherwise then you have the example of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. and get onto our pandit. Mm-hmm. So externally, he's just doing all this king stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's what then throws off, because if you're looking at it, no, I have to see that form. Then so understanding that that's the problem, Gadadhar Pandit's not appreciating this, then the devotee, whoever it was that took Gadadhar Pandit, then quotes a verse from Bhagavatam. Then you see the ecstatic symptoms of, you know, then they could appreciate. So it's just that they're just so nicely situated in this rag that the external form doesn't have to look like rag. You know, as you see also like in Sixth Canto, is that before that you're seeing great personalities are performing their duties, they're doing this, they're you know, very nicely God consciousness, you know, at least the how Krishna is everything, or the Paramatma aspect and the energies and all these aspects. But with the Sixth Canto, you start seeing kings who are Paramahamsas, but they're perfectly performing their kingly duties. And many times the performance of the kingly duties, you see the explanation there of the duties there. They're not explaining it in connection to someone who's not on that platform. So since it's Paramahamsa Samhita, then you see is that even the Bhagavatam will give some indication on how you would Krishna consciously connect the particular activity that you're doing, let's say as a king in this example, to Krishna. They'll only give the example in detail in connection with the Paramahamsas who are connecting to Krishna, not just any old king. You know, so it's like one of the kings who's a great devotee, explaining how he's dealing with his wife and the mood that's there between them. You know, but it's explained with that devotee, not with any, it's not explained with, you know, Yayati or one of these others. It's explained with one of these Paramahamsas. Because then you know it's not, it's just the duties being done properly because that's the way it's supposed to be done. But they're always absorbed in Krishna. So then you see, is they're getting the best material results or external results because of their Krishna consciousness. They simply see it as Krishna's. And so therefore you're taking that position, you do that duty according to that position. And that pleases Krishna. Does that make sense? So they're not just, the example is not just of anybody.
Okay.
Yes.
In fact, when we approach to Krishna as to Karuna Sindhu or Arjuna Dayal, is he Raja Krishna or Bhagavan with that of Paramatma?
The point is, Krishna is, it's just what mood you're there, because on all levels, even down to the incarnations, they all have all those qualities. Because Krishna has those qualities, then all his expansions and incarnations have those qualities. So on all levels, that's there. It's just a matter of what is your mood, who you're worshipping. So it's not a matter of worrying about who you're worshipping, it's who do you want to worship. Because they're all Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's the intent where you're trying to get to. Does that make sense? It's just like you're on the bus. Does it matter where you are now? It's about where you're trying to get to. You know, it's like you get on the bus to Calcutta, but you're in, now the bus is at Bhamanpur. It's just like, oh, so I'm only in Bhamanpur. Will we get to Calcutta? You don't have to do that. The intent's Calcutta. You follow the process for Calcutta. So we're our intent is Braja Krishna. We're following the process of worship of Krishna and Braja. Whether we're worshiping Krishna and Braja or Lakshmi Narayan, that's not the point. So, you have a question? Rati is described as more astonishing than the astonishing because it is much superior to the Rati experienced in relation to all the avatars, right? So the attraction to all the avatars won't be as great as the attraction to Krishna. So even the avatars are attracted to Krishna. Right? Uddhava, the great devotee of Krishna, realized this, right? Because he was the one sent to Vrindavan, and so then he starts to see this wider range. Because otherwise he just knows Dwarka on down. Now he sees above. So, that's the widest range you can see. So then that is revealed through Uddhava, and so then we can all appreciate it. Right? You don't have to have every devotee have this realization. Uddhava has it, then we can appreciate it. But the Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. This form is wonderful for everyone, including the Lord himself. In his form is the Lord of Vaikuntha, because it is the highest perfection of beauty, enhancing the beauty of all ornaments. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.12. So that's by Uddhava. Yeah, because this has been quoted a few times. Right, so Jiva Goswami is quoting it, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti talking. The superiority of Krishna's Rati was realized even by Narayana himself. Quote, Lord Mahavishnu said, I brought the Brahmana sons here because I wanted to see the two of you who have appeared with your Shaktis. Having killed the demons, the burden of the earth, make them quickly come to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.89.58. Right, so well, Mahavishnu is there. He's the Lord of the whole creation. So his expansion is Garbhadaksha, their expansion is Kiradaksha, and then from there all the avatars are coming. Right? So they're all just expansions of him. So he's the Lord of this whole scene. But he wants to see Krishna. Right? So Krishna is his Lord. So he knows, yes, he's expanding from Sankarsana, who's expanding from Mahanarayan, who's expanding from Balaram, who's expanding from Krishna. So Krishna is the actual origin. So that's the whole point. They all worship Krishna. Right? But they'll be respectful to in between. Just like Advaitacharya is very respectful towards Nityananda Prabhu. But he's worshipping Lord Chaitanya. So, you know, because the point is the personal aspect is there. Hari Priye, dear to Hari, indicates the devotee experiencer, the participant in his pastimes, and the excellent shelter of Rati. Right? Because that's the point, they're dear to Hari because they're absorbed in Krishna. They're always in relation to Krishna. Because of that Rati, then Krishna is also tasting. You know, it's just like you have the actor and the audience. If the audience is appreciating, the actor also is appreciating. Does that make sense? So the same way is that therefore they're dear to Krishna because rasa is churned by the devotee appreciating Krishna's performance of pastimes. So that enhances that, and then Krishna becoming more pleased, then that makes the devotees. So as you were saying before, is that when the Vibhava comes, the Anubhavas and all that, the Anubhavas, that makes the Vibhava go more. And it increases the Staibhava. So that's the whole transcendental competition that Prabhupada talks about. Is that the devotees try to please Krishna. Krishna being pleased, they become more pleased. They becoming more pleased, Krishna's more pleased. And so it just continues like that. This is just technically what's going on. Right? Because of the aspect of the Vibhava between the Ashray and the Vishay, that increases, then the Anubhavas and other aspects come up. So, and why is that happening? Because you can't have Vibhava, right? That relationship, unless there's the Staibhava. Right? So the Staibhava is there, and so then because of the Staibhava, then Krishna is that particular kind of, Vishay. And the devotee is that particular kind of ashray. That Mother Jashoda, because of the parental rasa, therefore those aspects connecting Krishna with the parental rasa, those are the aspects that inspire her. Right? So Krishna in that kind of mood, and he reciprocates there with that shelter. That will give the Anubhavas and the Sattvika Bhavas and Vyabhichari Bhavas. That will then increase again the Staibhava. You know, which then increases the quality of the Vibhava, which then it just keeps each one nourishes the other. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it just keeps on. So that's what's technically happening. So Prabhupada just so nicely just says this transcendental competition. Okay. 25109. In separation, this Rati develops its full form of rasa in astonishing bliss. And since it does not give up this form at all, any suffering is an appearance only. Mm-hmm. Right? So, Rati that attraction to Krishna, it only gives bliss. But it may be that bliss may be coming through the medium of that appearance of suffering, right? Because you have all the different qualities that are there in Krishna, right? The 64 qualities, and so some of them may have these kind of elements to them as the main element or as the sub elements. Remember the 64, then they have so many sub elements. You know, just the natural from this that just transforms into all these. It can move through that field. So by mentioning the one major quality in the 64, you don't have to mention the secondary, the supportive qualities, because they'll inherently be there within that major quality. Like, if you say happiness, you don't have to mention clapping hands or jumping up and down or smiling, because they go along with it. Depending upon the quality of the happiness, sometimes it's a smile, sometimes it's clapping hands, sometimes it's this. Like that. So that's the whole point, is that you don't have to mention them separately. So some of them appear then to have these aspects of seeming suffering. But because they're all within bliss, it's all Hladini Shakti, the effect is blissfulness, though the medium itself appears to be something of suffering. But it never is suffering. That's the problem. Here it's not connected to Krishna, who's the ocean of rasa. So when we deal here, the suffering is suffering. And then the problem is also the blissful things are suffering. You know, like that. You know, it's like you want your friends, you went out, it was a great dinner, it was fabulous, you really went for it, you had a great time, and then the maitre d' comes over with the bill. Right? Somehow or another, then your happiness is over.
So, appearance of
yes, the appearance of happiness. So that's the thing, is that these things go there. Or let's say a couple is having an argument, but at the same time as they're happy, because they don't want to have the argument with anybody else. Right? Even, why would you do that? This is the person I want to spend the rest of my life arguing with. So there's a happiness in that. Yes. Even though there's a distress. And there's a distress, and that's the non-dual aspect of Krishna. Like that. So, when it's connected with him, it takes on its natural form. When it's separated from him, you only get the externals of it. So, neither the happiness nor the distress can have any effect on the soul, because the soul is spiritual. So it doesn't actually give any satisfaction. Once happy, it doesn't give satisfaction. You're unhappy, it doesn't give satisfaction. Yes, but the point is that the Stai Bhava, the fundament of it, is servant of Krishna.
Yes.
So when Lord Chaitanya says, Jivar Sarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, that's the Sarup.
Yes.
Then the particular kind of rati, that's a detail. This is not necessarily well understood. We're taking it that the rati means it's in the rasa. No, rati will be from rati you'll get the taste of rasa.
Yes.
Rati's not rasa.
Yes. Yes.
Rasa's not rati. It's that rati means the attraction. From that attraction, there'll be the vibhav. From the vibhav, then you'll get the anubhav, sadvigabhav, and vyabhichari bhav. That combination together, that's called rasa.
Yes.
You know, so it's like when you're cooking in a preparation, there's so many tastes there together. That together gives a one taste.
Mm-hmm.
You can, and Rupa Goswami and that, they point out, is that you get one taste. Like it's a particular subject, it has one singular taste, but you can analyze what flavors are within it and make it up. And that, but that's only, it's only a value if it adds to the taste. You know, that taste is there, it has a little bit of cardamom or cinnamon, or it has the lemon, or it has this in it, and those kind of aspects. So you can't, it's one flavor, but at the same time you can analyze all the elements. So that's the point. Rasa is one thing, but you can analyze the elements. You know, so the rati means what's the attractive of what, how you'll be approaching and tasting that rasa. Because Krishna is rasa. He's all of it. But because of our attraction, we'll taste a particular aspect of Krishna, and Krishna will reciprocate that. So this principle, as you surrender, he reciprocates, that's the eternal principle that's always there. He's not going to deal with Mother Jashoda like he does with the Catholic boys. He's going to deal with the coward boys like the coward boys, Mother Jashoda like in the parental. So the point is that's the first principle, is servant. That's there. So that generic aspect, I'm a servant. Within that, then there's the detail of then there's Braj. And then within that, then there's, you know, or Goloka. And then within that, there's Braj. And then within that, then there's the specific. So that's why when you're dealing with it, Shravana Dasa is first. You're hearing about Krishna and the relationship and the devotees and all that. Right? Then Varnadas, then within that you're adjusting to a particular kind of relationship. Then Samadhi becomes exclusive. Right? Then you're able to function in that pastime from that position. Then that comes to Prema. Does that make sense? So that's important, because that's the thing, is the Sahajiyas throw people off of the actual understanding by taking that Shravana Dasa means hearing about my particular rasa with Krishna, a particular rati that I have. No, if you're not a servant, how can you have a particular relationship? Right? You know, you want a car, then within the car, what kind of car? You know, 2-door, 4-door, you know, 5-door. You know, is a road car? Is it a touring car? Is it, you know what kind of car? So, but it's within the context of car. So unless you're interested in the car or the automobile, then how can you get into detail? Yeah, it's just like you say, I'm thinking to get a car. You know, then what's going to be the next question? What kind? You know, or you know, either which car, you know, or what kind of car? You know, and then when they say, you know, I think about a family, you know, so then within that, is it a 5-door, is it a minivan, is it, you know, what are you going to get?
Then
what's your budget, you know? So it's like you're going to go for an SUV, right? Because you want it more family friendly and the doors and everything like that. Well, what's your budget, you know? Are you getting the Rolls Royce SUV or the Bentley SUV? You know, or you don't quite have that, so you're going to go for the, you know, how you say, the Porsche SUV, you know, like that. Or the flatback rickshaw. That's the local SUV, right? You don't even have to worry about doors. You can get on anywhere and everything, and the pylon, you know. Now, how many seats are on a flatbed rickshaw? Unlimited. It's up to the individual's imagination. You know, the sky's the limit. So that's the thing, is that it has much more, you know, family friendliness and utility than your regular SUV. It's like the ultimate SUV. You know, limited, you know, it's got one rice power, or, you know, this guy's a little bigger, it looks like 1.5 rice power. Okay. But how will these, Srila Jiva Goswami, but how will these devotees experience rasa in the pain of separation, since rasa should be most blissful, right? Because this question will come up. Who would this come up to? The question will come up with someone who's worried about liberation. Someone's just worried about material facility. They'll just look at, I want facility here and be happy, and it's spiritual, then I'll be happy there. So they won't look necessarily at this, right? Because then if you're looking at karma, then all the difficulties that come up, right, you know, it's just like, okay, the small baby and all that, you know, the 24/7 that, you know, they sleep, you know, they're every 2 hours they're sleeping, but then that means they're up every, you know, like that. So it means no proper sleep for two years, right, you know. But at the same time, as the parent, they want to get involved in that, and that makes them happy to be involved in that kind of seeming, you know, but in a sense, so they're not going to ask that question. Right? So it's someone who has the element of gyan to them, that they see that the material world is a place of misery, so they don't want to get close to anything that looks like misery. You understand? So then they're going to ask that question. So, we see why these things come up. So these are just questions on our conditioning of karma and jnana in relationship to all these aspects of philosophy. That's why the same points made over and over again, because we have different angles on which we're approaching it with different combinations of our karma and jnana. And so all of them are answered. That's why the same point has been, you know, we're discussing, well, like in 11th canto, all these technical points. And we're saying, wow, we've never gotten to this degree of technicality. And then, as an example for the point being made, the verse given is from the first canto, it's from the sixth canto, second canto, you know, Bhagavad Gita. Then we say, they've been talking about this all along. Just we only noticed it in the 11th canto. But it's been, Krishna said that in Bhagavad Gita. You know, in second chapter, he already said it. Right? You know, so, and then he explains it throughout. So that's the point is that these things come up, and so that's the angle. It says, you know, in the pain of sense, Russia should be blissful, and I want to be blissful, so I, do I want separation? You know, so those who can't handle the separation and all that, they don't go to Braj. They'll go to Ananda Vrindavan. You know, these kind of things like that. So the Nimbarka is, there's no separation. So they're Braj, but no separation. So it's not technically called Braj, it's just Vrindavan. Does that make sense? You know, and then there's the Vaikuntha wall. Is they're also into Vrindavan, but it'll just be an aspect of Mahanarayan, you know, with Radharani. But it'll still have that aspect of majesty, right? Nimbarka says no majesty. It'll just be sweetness, but it'll be sweetness without separation. They can't take that intensity. You know, does that make sense? And then there's others. It'll be the sweetness of Vrindavan with that touch of majesty. You know. So, does that make sense? So like that, you're going to get, depending on the mood. So that's why it's brought out, so we're very clear of if we want it, that highest, then it has this, and it's always blissful, though it has that medium of separation. And here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premi.